Your response to stress is not fixed. In fact, it's teachable. And you start learning this as you're on the healing journey, as you're overcoming these bizarre, mysterious sensations. You start learning that it's not you experiencing the symptom that's the issue, it's how you're responding to it. In fact, that is something that you can utilize in life. Any stressor you have, whether it's relationship stressors, whether it's a deadline, whether it's work-related stuff, whether it's family stuff, you're going to be having stressors. Even overcoming the principles of anxiety, understanding the principles of anxiety, aren't going to shield you from everyday problems that everyone has. It's part of life. And so how do you respond to these stressors? How do you teach yourself to handle stress better? That's what I want to share in this video. You can apply this to anxiety recovery. You can also be applying this post-anxiety recovery. So let's get it started. So if you don't know who I am, my name is Sean. We have an anxiety recovery program called Bye Bye Panic, where we help people around the world overcome their symptoms and go back to living. See, a lot of people think that if you have a stressor, that you just react to the stress, right? It's automatic. It's natural. If you say something that makes me angry, I'm going to get angry, right? Isn't that natural? Viktor Frankl has this amazing quote, which is, between a stimulus and your response, there is a gap. There is a space. And within that space is your ability to choose your response. Basically saying that anything that happens to you, whenever you react, whether you react in stress, anger, joy, whatever it is, deep down, you're choosing your reaction. You're choosing response. But when people are on the healing journey or when people are really struggling with anxiety, they don't realize that they always have an opportunity to respond. Just like understanding that your thoughts are not you, you also have to recognize that if you're responding, you still chose to respond that way. If somebody says something that makes you angry and you respond in anger, well, you still chose to respond in anger. And so the first thing to realize is you can feel the emotion, but you don't have to react with that emotion. So if someone says something that angers you, you can feel the anger. That's something you can't control. But how you lash out, if you lash out, that is within your control 100%. Now, as you start doing that, you start realizing that the pressure of that stress, the pressure of, you know, you pushing past your boundaries, you responding to a symptom, it ends up subsiding over time. You start thinking about, okay, well, if I was able to understand the mechanics and able to heal from this, what are other aspects of my life that I could really take control of and have it go my way? And so what happens naturally is people start responding to their anxiety by letting it pass, by choosing how to respond. But then the next step is, how do you do that in other situations, in life situations? And so the principle is that the response is still the same. It doesn't matter if it's a physical symptom or it's a relationship issue, if it's a tight deadline. You can be feeling the stress, but how you respond is always important. So the quickest way of teaching your brain how to handle stress is by first your response. Now, once you get the response in order, there are other things that you want to focus on so that you can develop that resiliency. Responding alone isn't enough long term. It's going to take you, I would say, 80% of the way there, especially if you've been struggling with these anxiety symptoms. But then the second thing is how you're priming yourself. Whether you like this or not, you're being primed every day. Your nervous system is always learning from everything, from your friends, from your environment, your thought process. It's always learning. And what I have found is when people are struggling with anxiety, they've primed themselves to always naturally look at the negatives. They look at everything that's going wrong. I was talking to a friend that also helps people on the healing journey, and he was very frustrated. He feels like he's giving so much and he's trying to help people, but no matter what he does, it doesn't feel like it's enough to his audience, to his people. And he said something really interesting, which is, man, Sean, I get so frustrated with these individuals because they can't look past their own pain. And the truth is that that's true for all of us. Everyone that's helping people on the healing journey, we have to accept the fact that the people that we are helping can't see anything past their pain. And the first thing to recognize is I was like that too, right? So there's a level of empathy there that, yeah, there was an aspect of me that was like that too. But it also can be very frustrating because they're so laser focused on what they don't have that it's very difficult to get somebody out when they're always thinking about what they're missing, what they don't have, the negatives of stuff. I want you to be a realist. I want you to see things for the way they are. But when people are struggling with anxiety, they've primed themselves in such a way to look at the negatives all the time that in order to adjust that, you have to teach yourself to look at the positive. Now, I'm not saying, like I said, you need to become this idealist that look at, you know, fairy tales and rainbows and all that stuff. But teaching yourself how to look at the positives, what it does is that brings you back to baseline and helps you look at reality for what it is. Focusing on the glass half full shows you eventually over time that the cup is half full. It's half full, half empty. Both things can be true. And so what you want to be doing is you want to be looking at the positives as well. You want to be priming yourself on what are you focused on. If your nervous system is always priming and always learning, you should be deciding what it learns, right? It can't just be an automatic thing where you just happen to be in a situation that you have no control over and your nervous system develops its own conclusions. You should be teaching that, right? If you want to take power over your own destiny, if you want to be helping people, if you want to become that beacon of hope and inspiration, well, that starts with self-leadership, right? That starts with working on yourself. What's the point of wanting to help other people if you can't even help yourself in this case? You want to be the example that you want others to follow. This is why I always talk about why gratitude is so important. Gratitude is just important because when you're always thinking about what's missing, it's good for drive, it's good for ambition, but those people tend to be very miserable. You know, a lot of successful people tend to be very miserable because they're always looking at the next thing. They're always looking at the next thing. They're always looking at the next thing. This will bring me happiness. This will bring me happiness. It becomes this compulsive layer. Even if you got healing right now, even if you recovered right at this moment, your brain would be happy for a few moments, but then it would look at the next thing. That's just how we're wired. That's just how we are. That's okay. So how do you deal with that wiring? Well, focus on what you have right now. What are some benefits that you have right now? Are you alive? Are your family members healthy? Are you making progress? If you're doing these things, acknowledge it. Now, the last thing I'll mention is how to accelerate this idea of looking at the positives. And it's going to sound silly, but just be more playful, right? A lot of times anxiety sufferers, I've seen them, you know, we see them in the mentorship program. They're very stern. They're very like serious. They're very like a little bit uptight and naturally show. So, right, they've gone through something. But I would say in order to practice this, you know, feeling of gratitude and joy is just be a little bit lighthearted. You know, I have some friends that are just so lighthearted. They don't take anything seriously. They're just so carefree no matter what's going on in life. And no matter what happens, things are always okay. Even when things are going bad in their life, yeah, they're, you know, irritated and frustrated, but they just have like this playful energy. And I just know that helps them on the healing journey. And something I've always tried to retain is that I've naturally always been very playful and I don't want to lose that the older I get, right? When people get older, they naturally become more stern. You know, they become more serious. Life kind of beats them down. I kind of want to have that spunk. I want to have that playfulness. And what that playfulness does is that it allows me to look at things for the way they are, right? It allows me to look at reality and, you know, look at the positives as well. I'm very playful, but I'm also very ambitious. I'm both those things. So the ambition always makes me think about, okay, what else do I not have? What else can I focus on? What else do I need? How else can I improve? And that helps me focus on this career and focus on improving by my panic. But then there's also a playful element where it's like, hey, I'm just enjoying things right now. And just because I haven't achieved what I want doesn't mean I can't enjoy the moment. And I know that if I get that achievement, I think I'll be happy. I know I'll be happy for a little bit, but then another problem is going to arise. And then I have to focus on that problem. And then I'm going to wish the same thing. So just have fun in the moment. So if you can do these things, you can really teach yourself how to build that resilience, how to handle stress better. I hope this video helps. If you want to know the principles of overcoming anxiety from the long view, make sure to check out this video. And there's a bunch of resources down below, including applying for mentorship. I'll see you in the next one.